100 years ago, the United States entered into World War I.
Inside the White House, President Woodrow Wilson conferred with advisors, then signed the Proclamation of War against Germany. Headlines told the story to the people of America.
A new exhibit at the Atlanta History Center highlights Georgia's connection to the conflict. Like the red poppy, it is fire truck red with its petals, black center, and it's become an international symbol of the human cost of war. Many don't know the red poppy actually rose to prominence, though, thanks to former University of Georgia professor Moina Michael. Michael's featured in the Atlanta History Center's exhibit. Sue Verhoff is the center's director of oral history and genealogy, and it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So Moina Michael, is kind of an interesting person that I don't think I had never heard of, for sure. But it sounds like she had a immediate connection to World War I because she was there in Europe when it broke out and almost immediately started into service in helping people who were stranded.
She was. She was visiting there in July of 1914, and her tour group, the group leader, sort of shepherded her group down to Rome, where they worked at the embassy to help other stranded Americans secure passage back to the United States. It was a scary time for everyone, and she got that help, provided that help early on.
We're going to get to the red poppy in just a little bit, but we kind of have to follow Moina and her journey to that moment, because she came back to Georgia. She started teaching at the University of Georgia, but she started volunteering at the YMCA, and many people may not realize that the YMCA is not a gym and a swimming pool, as many people know it now. During World War I, it actually served a pretty important purpose.
Yes, and did in World War II as well. YMCA was extremely important. She wanted to volunteer. She was older. She was not trained as a nurse, and she was not trained as a mechanic, so she couldn't do many of the things that other women, American women, did in France and did overseas. But she did volunteer for the YMCA and was trained in Columbia, at Columbia University, for secretarial and administrative tasks and hostessing tasks to help servicemen.
Which means she came in contact with a lot of servicemen and soldiers that were either serving in the war or had served in the war, because they were passing through the YMCA.
She did, and she did at UGA as well. They had a reception area there that she worked at. And so that happened at UGA as well, seeing these soldiers as they met with their families and said goodbye to their families before they left to serve overseas.
So what do we know? Do we have any relics left behind? Because she, at that point, she sees a ladies' home journal and sees the picture, which I'm going to have you describe in a minute. But do we have any idea of her thought process and why she was so affected by this?
She wrote very directly about the experience in her autobiography. So that was a very crystalline moment in her life. It was a spiritual experience. And yes, she writes very directly about how that worked.
She opens the ladies' home journal. She sees a picture of what?
It was dropped on her desk by a soldier, actually. And when the office cleared out and she had a few minutes to read it, she opened it up to a dog-eared page that had a copy of Colonel John McCrae, the Canadian physician, who wrote the poem that at that time was known as We Shall Not Sleep.
Now it's often known as
In Flanders Fields, exactly. And it was illustrated, this beautiful illustration of the red poppies at the bottom of the illustration among the crosses, the larks flying among the artillery shells and debris, and these soldiers, many of them with treated wounds, rising from the ground and ascending towards the heavens. It's a beautiful illustration.
And it seemed to have been the poppies that stuck in her head. In fact, she wrote a poetic response to McCrae's poem. We recorded just a little bit of it. The poem that she wrote was called We Shall Keep the Faith, and here's one stanza.
We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies, but lends a luster to the red of the flower that blooms above the dead in Flanders fields.
So it could have been just a momentary or even a longer-lasting emotional moment for her, but why did she want to make the red poppy more of a symbol for everyone?
She worried that when the war was over with, that the posters and all of the visual representations of the war that had been plastered everywhere to unite the United States behind this war effort, once those left, that people would forget that they would forget the sacrifices that were made. And the response to the image and to the poem was so visceral for her that she determined that the poppy needed to be the symbol, that that was the symbol that needed to be created.
So then how did that actually happen? Because she was very successful in working this through. What happened next?
It was. At the time that she finished writing that poem on the back of an envelope, three gentlemen came in from one of the training sessions to give her a check for $10. She had been providing flowers to brighten up the office spaces, and they were grateful for that, and they wanted to reimburse her for that. And when she got that check, she immediately said, "This is what I'm going to do with it. I am going to go down and I'm going to buy red poppies, artificial poppies, and I'm going to hand them out to everyone who'll take one." She didn't realize how tough it would be to find artificial poppies in New York City in November, but she did manage to find some at Wanamaker's department store. And as she talked with the sales clerk about why she was looking for these things, the sales clerk told her, "Well, my brother was just killed in World War I, and he is one of those men that are sleeping underneath those poppies in Flanders Fields." And she felt like that was just a sign. So she brought the poppies back, handed them out to everyone who would take them. And then really her efforts, her untiring efforts to promote this, she wrote to her congressman, she spoke at women's groups, she spoke at veterans groups, she did everything she could to promote this as a symbol of remembrance.
And it has become an international symbol. In fact, they just I think it was last year or maybe the year before, the Tower of London featured an art exhibit with red poppies like a sea pouring out of the window.
Yes.
What does the red poppy mean now?
It still is a symbol of remembrance, but beyond the symbol of remembrance, it's a method for collecting funds to be able to help surviving veterans and their families. When she went back to UGA to teach, many of the students that she taught were veterans who came back with either physical or mental wounds, and she wanted to be able to do something to help them. And the idea came to have them create these artificial poppies that could then be sold. So by the time she died in 1944, the sale of the poppies by the American Legion that adopted it as a symbol in 1920 had raised $200 million to benefit veterans.
And what do you have of hers in the exhibit at the Atlanta History Center?
There are two photographs of her in the exhibition, a portrait of her and then also a picture of her at the New York City location with her fellow workers around her.
And probably some red poppies.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That is Sue Verhoff. She is the Director of Oral History and Genealogy at the Atlanta History Center. Sue, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.